you a fan of this podcast? Do you wish there was even more juicy content for you to sink your ears into? Well, there is. You can become a premium member of this podcast for $5.99 a month and get full access to an archive of over 50 bonus episodes. Additionally, we release a bonus episode every single month. That's a ton of extra content, including my personal interior design diaries, extra tips, my talking about trends, and so much more. Additionally, you'll be keeping us on the airwaves each and every week because your premium membership money goes directly back to making this podcast amazing. Check us out at affordableinteriordesign.com. Click on podcast to learn more and to become a premium member today.
Need a high-end designer or a lot of money to get a luxe look. Be your own interior designer.
This is Affordable Interior Design, the podcast.
Here's your host, Betsy Hellman.
Hello. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, you may be wondering, Betsy, where the heck are you recording from? There's a Syracuse orange in the background. There's Bob the, or Bill the cat, stuffed animal. There's my dog back there. There's like 6,000 DVDs behind me. I feel like I'm recording out of a Blockbuster today, but I'm actually in my husband's office because I have sleeping newborn down the hallway and my office is a separate building in the back of our house. So I don't want to take her down there because then she would have to sleep in our one room down there. Here she can sleep in her bedroom and get a nice, good nap, hopefully for the duration of this podcast recording, while I get my work done and I can hear her because is this codependent? You'll tell me, I'm sure. My baby is 5 months old and I still have not set up her monitor and video because she's never more than like 100 feet away from me. So I can hear everything. And I've only had her babysat like three times, twice by the neighbor, once by grandma. So I am pretty stuck to my baby, which is also why there's been a delay sometimes in the podcast and it's not coming out right as rain every Thursday because her naps are fairly scheduled. But I also run a business. I have design clients. I'm writing a book and I have a huge pitching conference for it. Middle of this month. I'm so excited. I've written four chapters. I've written summaries for all the other six chapters, and it's got a lot of stories and memories and things I've never shared before. My husband was reading over my submission to one of the agents, and he was like, I have never heard these stories before. Yeah. Did you know that I used to be a psychic coat check? I used to read people's palms in the coat check booth for extra money. Anyway, there's many stories like that, including how I used to dumpster dive and get all my sheets from the trash in the East Village. Lots of different things that are curious, interesting, and make up my tapestry that is my background in interior design. So a varied and sometimes bloodstained tapestry, which you'll hear all about in the book. But anyway, so I've got a lot going on, and I'm trying to wedge that in with having this third child who's a very different age than my other children. And it's been interesting because with two children and a husband and a house and a job and a book and all this stuff that I was working on, I felt pretty maxed out. And now that I have a third kid, I'm like, I had a ton of free time. What was I doing with all that time? Was I making good use of it? Because now I literally have 3 hours a day between the naps to get things done. And sometimes that means I just do the dishes and clean the house. Sometimes that's what that means. Thank you for bearing with me, everyone. In the meanwhile, don't let this deter you from sending in questions. This is a bright spot in my week to record with you guys, to see what you're working on, to use my brain to think about things other than diaper brands and formula ounces. So I'm just so excited whenever I see a new question come in the mailbag. You got a question for me? Go to affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast and send me that question. I would love to answer it in a coming week. All right, let's dive in. Without further ado, lots going on. I want to read your questions. The first question is coming all the way from Tennessee, and Stephanie is writing. She says, Betsy, I'm interested to know what you think of wallpaper murals. I've included an image of one I like from Wallism. I'm wondering if something like this will look stunning in my living room or if it will constrain me too much in other choices I make for the room. I've included two murals I'm considering. So guys, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to be able to see these murals and consider them with her. But if you're not, if you're listening while you're doing dishes, taking care of your third child, driving somebody somewhere, or just, you know, strolling the aisles at the grocery store, it always feels so decadent when I remember my headphones at Trader Joe's and I'm like listening to a favorite podcast while grocery shopping. It just takes the experience to the next level and makes it feel more like self-care than a task. Anyway, just a little hint from me to you. But let me describe this for you if you are picking up your, you know, chopped salads and what are my favorite things to get at Trader Joe's? Oh my gosh, the pizzas. And oh, there's something I'm going to try. Oh, those mini cone, the hold the cone tips. That is something I'm going back for this week. And the frozen lobster. The frozen lobster that I like to put in their lobster bisque. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, I'll start a Trader Joe's podcast another day. So these two murals both have tropical themes. One is more of a true landscape with a horizon with lots of undulation. There's palms, there's flowers, there's one bluebird in the middle, there's hibiscus flowers, there appears to be a volcano in the misty background. It's all sort of greens and blues with these punches of red with the hibiscus flowers and these other small flowers. There's also some yellow flowers, I think. Anyway, it's a little bit more subtle because it does have this sort of misty background, whereas the second one reminds me a lot of the wallpaper. Was it in Blanche's room in Golden Girls that has those huge, almost fern-like palm fronds. And this also has a bird, but it's flying. And you can see less of the background and more of the foreground. There's just a lot of plant life in the foreground. So it's much greener, much bolder, things like that, much more in your face. Now, this is a big statement for a dining room. This is a big statement for any room. I personally love a wallpaper mural, even though it kind of goes against what I typically say about, you know, wallpapering only one wall looks like an accident wall, like where's the rest, right? And if you did have the inclination to mural the entire room, I think that would be fascinating, but also a heavy dose of these very busy images. I think it's a really fun, bold choice. You want to pick the wall strategically for a mural because you don't want a wall that's broken up by windows, doorways, lots of intricate molding. You want to be able to see the entire panorama almost as you would a piece of art, right? You'd hate to have a piece of art with a big old hole in it, in this case, a hole for a window. So I really want to be able to see the practically complete image. So not all walls are set up for this, especially if you have a lot of light switches, a lot of outlets, a thermostat, you know, that could further gunk up your clean, beautiful, artistic image. And then this piece, without question, becomes your inspiration piece because there's so many colors, because it's so big, because it's so overpowering in terms of its imagery. This is not a bashful mural. And there are bashful murals that feel like a watercolor abstract or different things like this. And I've certainly used a variety of murals in my day, but these are really bold and they would serve not only as that inspiration piece from which all the colors in the room would be derived, but also, you know, these have strong tropical themes. I don't know where you live, but if you put this tropical wallpaper in Indiana, you might look like you're trying a little hard in terms of pushing it in a direction that's counterintuitive to either the architecture or the place. You live in Tennessee. I'm not saying you have to do some kind of Appalachian landscape or something like that, but I just don't want it to look too forced. I think this could be fun. It could be playful, but it's a whole lot of look, and you've really got to embrace it with your other choices. So go back to that two-word phrase. What are you trying to get across with this imagery? What are you hoping to say with the entire room? And does this room open up into other rooms? Is it a dining room that opens up into a living room, such that we need to make sure that the themes and colors continue on, in which case that is a heavy dose of the tropical theme. These are all things I would be thinking about before I would purchase this particular mural, though I am absolutely, as you can hear, not opposed to murals. I've done the abstract ones. I've done maps. I've done this type of mural, which is more of a landscape. I think that there's lots of amazing applications for murals. And you just want to make sure that you check the boxes that I laid out. All right, there we go. And now it's time for a quick commercial break. Do you love this podcast? Do you wish you could learn even more? Well, we have an online class bundle. Our online class bundle is comprised of three online classes: Beautifying Your Home for Less, Styling Your Home, and the Fundamentals of Feng Shui. Each one of those three classes is between 30 and 45 minutes long and chock filled with visuals and tips, things that will help you to style your own space or help out with other spaces. Additionally, with the pack of three classes, you get an autographed copy of my book, Affordable Interior Design. You get all of that for only $99. Once again, that's the three online classes as well as the book for only $99. You just go to affordableinteriordesign.com/classes. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/classes to buy your bundle today. And if one of those classes sounded intriguing, but maybe you already have my book or some of the other topics are not of interest, you can buy the classes individually at that site as well. Each class is $40. So head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/classes to get your bundle or your online class today. The next query comes from Esther. Esther is writing from Indiana. Oh my gosh, what are the chances? I think I just mentioned Indiana, Esther. Let's dig in more to your query here. You write, we have a 1910s fixer-upper that we are slowly working on. Our living room is a kid's main play area, so the decor has got to be kid-friendly. We eventually want to change out the paint color on the walls, but for now we've updated the rug and I'm going to be changing the throw pillows. We enjoy having family photos on the wall and would like to add more, but what we have is currently in matching oak frames. Can I mix woods and metals for the picture frames? How about a picture of art and family photos in the same arrangement on the wall? Thank you. All right. So she wasn't able to upload a photo. One sec. Today's a half day at school and my kids have just come through the door. Give me one sec. Let me shut the door to my office. There we go. I'm back. Okay. So you were asking, let me get back to this question. Can I mix woods and metals for the picture frames? How about a mixture of art and family photos in the same arrangement on the wall? Thank you in advance. Okay. So first things first, because I have no picture to go on, I'm just going to give a couple of guidelines. Certainly, you can mix frames, you can mix metals, you can mix the types of art. The more different elements you mix, if you're mixing, you know, gold with silver, if you're mixing handmade art with black and white photos, with color photos, if you're mixing, you know, sculptural items with these different frames, the more elements that are disparate or different that you're bringing in, it creates more of an eclectic style. Now, if your style word is not eclectic or your feeling word does not lend itself towards being sort of outside the box, kooky, maximalist, that kind of thing, then this may not be the look for you. You really have to curate very professionally and very well for this not to look like a hot mess. So you want to make sure that you lay out these frames. It sounds like you've already got a vibe going on with all these matching oak frames. If you're going to be incorporating new elements that aren't the matching oak, then you're going to need to mix up that matching oak so you don't have a blob of the same frames in the middle, and then these kind of mismatched elements on the periphery. You definitely want to be very mindful of how you arrange this so it does not look craptastic. One other thing that I'll share with you guys is when you do have a gallery wall that is primarily family photos, in that same room, you would not want to include more family photos. So across the room above the fireplace, I would do a painting. Then on the other side of the room above the love seat, I would do a mirror, right? To make sure that it doesn't look like it's just a photo album that exploded in your home. So these are a few guidelines I would share in order to make this work out, because I do think it could be very compelling and I think it could look really exciting visually, have a lot of wow factor. But if you do it wrong, and it so easily could go wrong, it's going to look crappy. It's going to look like you threw a whole bunch of old frames that you found in one place on one wall and tried to make it feel like a moment. I highly recommend mapping this out in advance, taking pictures along the way to ensure that the vision that you're building matches the vision that you're hoping for. All right. I hope that answered your question, Esther. Let me go to my next question for today. The last question comes from Donna. Donna is writing from Maine, Skowhegan, Maine. She writes, I'm in the process of replacing my flooring in the mudroom and kitchen. I love color and I want colored flooring as I live in a Victorian home with all wood flooring and there's lots of wood in the kitchen, wainscoting and cabinets in the laundry room. The only colored flooring I've found is marmoleum and the store told me it's prone to scratching. I love the colors. I don't want tile or wood flooring. Any ideas for what I should consider? Thank you so much. All right, so let's look at pictures of this beautiful Victorian, because you know, just by mentioning the word Victorian, you've got me salivating. I'm sad to hear that the marmoleum scratches easily. Now, I don't necessarily specialize in flooring because I don't handle that many renovations. Typically, I'm working with what is there in the space. Looking at this, I'd be questioning why you don't want to do tile. For me, tile would be the natural texture to use because you do have so much wood from the chair rail and wainscoting to the doors and then the cabinets, of course, as you mentioned. So right now you're really overdoing it on the wood. I'm also very hesitant to advise on color, because I think a colorful floor competes with this beautiful, expensive, amazing looking maroon or burgundy stove oven. It's really compelling. Now you have black countertops and a black backsplash. I do think it's kind of a miss on the backsplash that it just appears to be the same material as the countertop, which doesn't appear to have much character or personality. It just looks to be pretty flat and black. So, you know, I really want you to do a neutral tile. That's what I'm feeling in my bones. And I just wonder why you're not open to that. Maybe it's because you don't want to remove baseboards. But even then, like with the linoleum, which I think, you know, I also want to protect your resale value. Now, you're not telling me that you want to sell this anytime soon. But, you know, flooring is something that doesn't tend to go out of fashion, that would really improve your resale. I just don't understand your resistance to the tile. So I would consider that again. But in terms of other flooring that's not tile, that's not carpeting, that's not hardwood, that's not kind of some manufactured laminate, I don't have a lot of experience laying down linoleum or marmoleum. I mean, frankly, I grew up with linoleum and I just hated it in the kitchen. I just remember that the grease kind of seemed to stick in more of a filmy way on the linoleum than when we moved to our next house and had a tile floor. These are just things to think about. So I hate to not be able to give you a more concrete answer, Donna. Get it? Concrete? That's another texture you could use, but it does not fit the Victorian vibe. But I'd want to know more about why tile is out. If it's just a personal preference, I would tell you to get over it. And if it's some kind of logistical or pricing preference, then I'd want you to evaluate, maybe even with a real estate agent. Sometimes when I'm making these types of changes, I know it's going to be expensive. I know I'm not going to want to do it again for another 10 to 15 years, and I might be selling in that time. I'll contact a real estate agent and say, what textures, what materials would be good for resale? And what would not be good? Because you don't want to make a choice that is going to be worse off for your home in terms of investment value. All right, Donna, sometimes it's not all about design. Sometimes it's about thinking what is going to appeal to most people, what's going to elevate my home in the long run while maintaining the integrity of the architecture that's already there. Guys, so many lessons, so many things to talk about and share. When I can give you my advice wholeheartedly, I always will. And when I think there's another expert that you should also consider consulting with, I'll share that too. Guys, if you want the straight story on any questions you have, feel free to send them my way. That's affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Until next week, everyone. Bye. You've asked for it, and we have answered the call. For years, you've been saying, Betsy, you're talking about all these great design concepts, but we can't visualize them. You're describing the picture that the listener sent in of their problem, and we wish we could see that picture too. After all, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I do my best to describe them, but there's nothing like seeing it for yourself. And that's why Affordable Interior Design, the podcast, now has a YouTube channel. Not only do we have a YouTube channel where you could see recordings and clips of these podcast episodes, we also have an Instagram, a Facebook, and so many other exciting things. You should check it out. Head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/links. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/links. Links. And when you go there, you will see links to our YouTube page, our Instagram page, our Facebook page, and more. Please check it out, follow, and subscribe so you can see everything I'm talking about. A big thank you to our amazing producer, Catherine Heller, to Eitan and the MBCR House Band, and to Affordable Interior Design, the sponsor of this podcast and the premier place to get an amazing look on a budget. Check out affordableinteriordesign.com. If you guys love the show, the very best way to support us is by spreading the word. Tell your friends or write us an awesome review on iTunes. So until next week, guys, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.